Well, let's take our Bibles again in the book of Acts, chapter 18. Last week we got down to verse 22. Acts 18, 22. Those that are listening to us, if you have a question or comment, give us a call at 856-261-9018 or give us an email, questions@bftbc.org. Questions@bftbc.org. Chapter 18 of the book of Acts. We stopped at 21. Let's read 21 as a background, and then we'll begin 21, 22, and 23. Let's read those together. But bade him farewell, saying, I must by all means keep this feast that cometh in Jerusalem, but I will return again unto you, if God will. And he sailed from Ephesus. And when he had landed at Caesarea, and gone up, and saluted the church, he went down to Antioch. And after he spent some time there, he departed and went over all the country of Galatia and Phrygia in order, strengthening all the disciples. All right, verse number 21. He bade them farewell. Where was Paul when he bade them farewell? Who's the them he's referring to here?
Ephesians.
Ephesians church there, the Christian believers at Ephesus. He bade them farewell, said goodbye. And what did he say his reason for leaving was? What did he have to do? In verse 21.
Keep the
feast at Jerusalem. And what did he promise them? If
going to return.
But what was his if clause there?
If the Lord
will. See, if God was very important to know. Did Paul want to know what the will of the Lord was for his life?
Mm-hmm.
Did he want to know?
Sure.
Yes. And should we all know as well? If we're genuinely safe, we should know. Yeah,
Vaughn? Do you know what that feast was?
No, I don't know what that feast would be. One of the feasts. Whether Passover or leavened bread or Feast of First Fruits or Pentecost or trumpets or Atonement.
Yeah.
All those are feasts, yeah. Those are seven feast days, the Day of Atonement, yeah. There's seven altogether, three in the first month, one in the third month, and three in the seventh month. We're not sure any. All right, then, if the Lord will. So then what did he do after he... In the last part of verse 21.
He sailed
from Ephesus. He left Ephesus. And then in verse 22, where did he land? Where did he go after this long trip?
Caesarea.
Caesarea is way over here, isn't it? Way over here. And he's over here at Corinth. And from Corinth to there. I don't know, probably went like this. A lot of sea to go over there. And so that's, you had to keep the feast. If Caesarea, then Jerusalem, of course, down there for the feast, is up there at Caesarea to start with. All right? And gone up. What did he do at Caesarea?
That's when the ship came in.
All right, the ship landed. And then what else in verse 22?
Greeted the church.
Greeted the church. What is a church? How do we define a church?
The people that know Jesus as Savior and Lord.
All right. The people that know the Lord Jesus as Savior, genuine, true Christians, the church. Now, is the church necessarily a building?
No.
No. It's a gathering of people that are Christian believers together. That's what it is. What is the Greek word for that?
Ekklesia.
Ekklesia. Comes from two Greek words. What are the two Greek words it comes from?
Ekkaleo.
Ek and kaleo. Ek is out of and kaleo to call. Call out. From. So it's a calling out of different ones to gather together. Now, there's some churches that are buildings today. Do we call them churches? Church buildings. We call them a certain denominations. We call them churches. But the church that is at Antioch, it was a group of people, wasn't it? Now, yeah, Bill.
There are some churches that meet outside of the building. And they'll sit on the grass, or there may be grass where they have chairs placed. That a lot of people who go to third world countries as missionaries have churches that way too.
Yeah, like in China.
We've done that when I was a child, my teens.
Yes.
The Baptist church we went to, a spring day, we would go outside with the chairs out there.
That's right. A lot of people in China, there's a lot of churches that are not in big buildings. And so it's important. But today we have different denominational cult churches, but the basic church, the Bible, biblical church, the real believers, members of the church, are those that are genuinely saved, and meeting in a group, just like in our home here. There's three or four different churches and houses in the New Testament. Church in my house, church here, church here. So the meeting in the house is still a church, a gathering, a called out assembly of people. So he went down then to Antioch. After he went up and saluted the church, he went down there. Antioch is over here, right? That's Antioch. So Caesarea is...
Caesarea is close by, where is it? Is there a map that has that larger? Well, here's Caesarea. Caesarea's down here, I guess, isn't it? Anna, where's Caesarea? Somewhere in that English. Yeah, you're on the map. Just below that long red strip. Right, just below where your pointer is.
Caesarea. So you got here in Antioch, then Caesarea, went down there quite a few miles. So went down to Caesarea, and when he went up there, what did he do at that time? Well, I guess then he went to Antioch. We already said that he saluted the church and went to Antioch. Did we read that already? Did we say that?
Yes.
Okay. Then got up and saluted the church. Came at it. Then in verse 23, did he just stay there very long or just leave immediately?
No, he spent some time.
Spent some time there. And departed. And then where did he go?
Over the country.
All right, to what?
Galatia.
Galatia is up in this area here. Galatia and...
What's the other one?
The other one? Phrygia. Phrygia. Galatia and Phrygia. Probably in the same area.
Wow.
Yes, hello, Jacob. Hello.
Hello, Pastor Wade.
Yes.
I think I figured out what feast Paul was talking about there, because it says here in Acts 20:16, for Paul had determined to sail by Ephesus because he would not spend the time in Asia, for he hastened if it were possible for him to be at Jerusalem the day of Pentecost.
It says it's the day of Pentecost, huh?
Yes.
Good. That's good. That's good. Chapter 20. All right.
20:16. Okay. God bless you.
I think it's a wave to Jacob over in Texas, down in Texas. Thank you, Jacob. Chapter 20. Now, that was in chapter 20, and so I don't know whether he it's still in the same general frame or that was another feast. I don't know. Yes, Steve.
Pentecost is what again?
That's the feast, the 50-day feast, and that's commemorating the descent of the Holy Spirit in Acts chapter 2. That's in the third month of the Jewish year. The first month has got three feasts, and this is the third month, Feast of Pentecost.
That occurred on the day of Pentecost.
Occurred on the day of Pentecost, yes. That's where the Holy Spirit came and descended. They had a feast there. They call it the Feast of Pentecost. They remember that every year. And the three feasts in the seventh month as well.
It was in place before that till, wasn't it?
Yes. Yes, the Pentecost was before. In the book of Leviticus, chapter 23, Old Testament, they have all the seven feasts listed right there. Three in the first month, one in the third month, three in the seventh month. And that was one of the feasts, day of Pentecost. Third month. The day of the call, I think, is it in gathering? I'm not sure. In gathering? Might be in gathering. So, all right, so they say that may be in the chapter 20. It could be the same feast at the same place, two chapters away, or it could be another one. We're not sure just what this feast, but maybe we went back again for another feast. But we'll have to. When we come to that, we'll check that out and see. All right, so he went to Galatia and Phrygia. What did he do there? What does it mean, in order? In order, verse 23.
Para que.
Huh?
Para que.
Yeah. Well, but in this case, of order.
So that.
Well, that's why in order that, but... sometimes... 20, verse 23, but sometimes in order that is one way, but just in order, a little different meaning. What does that mean? Something is done in order.
One after another,
in order. It's under the sequence, special order, didn't hasten the thing. So I think that's what it means in that case, in order. And what did he do in these two places, Galatia and Phrygia?
Strengthening
all the disciples. What is a disciple, first of all?
A follower who is a learner.
Mathetes, a disciple, a learner. And he says, strengthening. How does he strengthen anybody? Go to the gymnasium? What does it mean here?
No, get them in the Word and go over what they know.
All right.
Make sure they know.
Strengthen. Now, does that mean that they needed strength?
Of course.
It is. All, they may be new Christians, but everybody needs strength or be stronger. And Ephesians says, be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. And so, encourage them and strengthen them. Now, if a person is not strong, what is he? Or what is she?
Weak.
Probably weak. And so, we got to be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. And so they strengthen the church. Now, some people don't care about strengthening the people after they're saved. They just leave them alone. In fact, one person told me recently that they had a friend who said that they said yes and let Jesus come into their heart. And the person said, well, do you read the Bible? No. Do you go to church? No. I don't need that anymore. I just read Jesus in their heart. That's all I need. Great.
Yeah, good boy.
Strange. Yes.
7 days without the Word makes 1 week.
That's very good. 7 days without the Word makes 1 week.
1 word?
Without the Word makes 1 week. That's good. 1 week without the Word. All right.
What makes a month?
30 or 31. Or 29, depends on the month. Strengthen it. So we're glad for that. So 21, 2, and 3. Let's read 24, 25, and 26 together. A certain Jew named Apollos, born in Alexandria, an eloquent man and mighty in the Scriptures, came to Ephesus. This man was instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in the Spirit, he spake and taught diligently the things of the Lord, knowing only the baptism of John. And he began to speak boldly in the synagogue, whom when Aquila and Priscilla had heard, they took him unto them and expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly. All right, verse number 24, 5 and 6. All right, 24. Who did he find there in Galatia and Phrygia?
Apollos,
all right. Where was Apollos from? What was his country?
Alexandria.
Where is that located?
Egypt.
In Egypt, Alexandria, Egypt. What else do we know about Alexandria?
That's theology and bad scriptures.
What was the group of people that had the headquarters there? The Gnostics. What were Gnostics? What was basically what they were?
Gnostics. Unbelievers.
Are they unbelievers? Now, what do they believe about the Bible, about the Lord Jesus Christ?
They wouldn't take it literally.
He was just a man. He wasn't a savior. He just be saved himself. Yes, Danny?
Well, the school in Alexandria, we learned about in prophecy.
That's right.
Where they used the allegorical approach to scriptures.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Allegorical approach instead of literal approach to scriptures. Yes, good. So there's lots of evil at Alexandria. So he was born... Okay, way down in Egypt, in other words, way down this area here, way down wherever Egypt, here is Egypt.
No,
right?
No, it's just over to the...
Over here?
Over there.
Yeah.
Over there, okay.
To the west.
Yeah, over there. Let me see what we got here just a minute.
That's east.
Yes, Jacob, go right ahead.
Yes, sir, that's the way. I believe I was wrong about that because in 20, verse 2, no, verse 3, well, I will from 2, and when he had gone over those parts, he had given them much exhortation. He came unto Greece, and there abode 3 months. And when the Jews lay wait for him, he was about to sail into Syria. He purposed to return through Macedonia. So the way I'm seeing this here is that it must have been the Feast of Unleavened Bread. If he had to wait there 3 months, he had missed that feast. He had wanted to go to, I think.
All right, that's good. Let's wait for
line, yes.
Okay, could be well. Let the rest. Waves of Jacob. Way down in Texas. Thank you, Jacob. Appreciate that.
The
second wave. Second wave.
Southwest.
All right. So we still don't know, but we just have to. He thinks maybe the unleavened bread feast instead.
Somebody asked a question.
Someone. We don't know who it was.
Which feast was it?
Me.
And so Jacob was.
I'm guilty.
Somebody else.
Someone else as well.
It says Jacob was trying to help that.
Trying to help the summer out. And first he said, what?
He said Pentecost.
And now he's changed his mind. He said, what?
Unleavened bread.
Possibly unleavened bread. So it's a little bit vague. But thank you, Jacob. Appreciate that clarification. We always like to have updates. And that was good. So then in verse, he was from Alexandria. Now, what was true of this man Apollos, according to this verse?
Eloquent.
What does eloquent mean?
Scripture.
A good speaker.
A good speaker, eloquent. Now, just because someone's eloquent, does that mean he necessarily knows the scriptures well?
No.
No, it doesn't mean that.
He just knows how to talk well.
He's an orator. He's an orator. Eloquent. Yes, Tammy.
Is Jacob's then saying that these are two different feasts?
Apparently. Well, he was wondering. He wonders if that's the proper feast there because it's 3 months away. And
he doesn't know.
It's unclear. Because the way he read it in chapter 20, he waited a while. And so we'll have to figure out.
It's funny because that's after 18.
So if this was the day of unleavened bread, if this is day of unleavened bread here, and it's 3 months later, chapter 20, maybe it was 3 months later, so maybe that's what he's figured.
Okay.
3 months for the Pentecost. Yes, Dave.
I have a theory.
All right. Speak up.
That Apollos may have gotten with Paul and wrote the book of Hebrews because he knew the scripture.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he was instructed.
Yeah.
And he knew the scripture, and he was Jewish, and he had a Jewish background.
Mm-hmm.
And he would have been able to. And so that's my theory.
It's possible. That's good. That's interesting, Terry.
You just say that right now?
All right.
Is that taught? Or?
So that's interesting. Now, secondly, not only eloquent to speak, but what else was true of him in verse 24? Yes, Pastor Dan.
Well, this is not necessarily about this question, but it's about the other question that Christopher forgot to ask.
All right.
In 19, verse 8, he's being delayed somewhat, and he went into the synagogue and spoke boldly for a space of 3 months,
explaining
and persuading the things concerning the kingdom of God. And so,
that's why.
If this is in chronology, then he's been delayed. I'm not sure if it's what feast.
Yes.
He said, "Lord, well, you want to get back to Jerusalem."
Yes.
There's another 3 months there mentioned in 19.
Yeah.
Jacob noticed the 3 months in 20, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And here's one in 19.
So, I guess the answer is we're not.
Like he ever went to Jerusalem.
We're not positive.
We're not positive.
We know he went there.
Yeah, he went there to give the offerings, didn't he, a little bit later? Poor saints at Jerusalem.
Okay.
So he went sometime.
Right.
So it's vague. All right, now, the second thing, not only eloquent, he can speak well, but mighty in the scriptures. What does that mean to be mighty in the scriptures?
Well, he really knew it.
Knows them and knew it. He came where? Where did he come? In verse.
Apollos?
Yes, Apollos. In verse 24, where did he come?
Alexandria.
To Ephesus, right? He came to Ephesus. He's born in Alexandria,
came
to Ephesus. That's right. And then, now notice in verse 25. Though he was mighty in the scriptures, he knew some of it, probably the Old Testament scriptures. But he was, what was true of him in verse 25?
Instructed.
He only knows James Baptist, and he's not up to
He was instructed in the way of the Lord, which is fine. And what else was about him?
He had a fervence.
Fervent. What does fervent mean?
Fiery.
Fiery, zealous, eager, strong. So he was all these different things. He was a man that was mighty in the scriptures, but eloquent, instructed in the way of the Lord, fervent in spirit. Now, it's good to be fervent in spirit, but you ought to have the knowledge of the Word of God as well. You have to have the spirit of fervor, but also the knowledge of the Word of God. You have to have both. It's good to have both. Then, what did he do in verse 25? Some other things he did.
He didn't teach the full counsel.
No, but first of all, he spake and taught what? In verse 25.
Things
of the Lord, but knowing only the baptism of John. In other words, he didn't know a lot of things about the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ and the doctrines of the New Testament. But he did speak boldly, he was eloquent, and he had used the scriptures and expounded them. Now, in verse 26, when Priscilla and Aquila and Priscilla had heard what happened, what did they do?
They took him.
Oh, excuse me, Tanya.
Is it possible that he wasn't in the slaves at the time?
It's possible. I'm not really sure. But he was instructed in the way of the Lord, so apparently, but he didn't know the whole details. Maybe that was it. He might have been.
He didn't know Jesus died on the cross yet. He just knew it was
John. Anna?
Jeremiah knew the way of the Lord, but he didn't know the specifics about Christ.
That's true.
I mean, now Jeremiah, that was in the Old Testament,
but
I would say that he was instructed in the way of the Lord as far as perhaps the Old Testament way of Adonai. Perhaps he, but
it's possible he was not fully Christian. It could be he was Christian, was untaught in the things of the heart. I'm not certain. It doesn't really tell us. But what did Aquila and Priscilla do when they found him there in verse 26?
But how can you be a Christ one if you don't know what Christ has done?
Yes. Well,
that's what they did. They taught him.
They did.
Right,
they
supported him.
Well, that's true. But as I say, he could have been an untaught Christian. He could have been a baby Christian.
But he didn't know about John.
Well, but did John know about the Lord Jesus Christ?
Yes.
What does the apostle, what does the Baptist, John the Baptist say about Christ? Yes, tell me.
He also sent his disciples because he didn't really know who Christ was. It was sort of peculiar. It seemed like he had a change of heart when he was in prison, and he was trying to figure out, are you really the Christ? And then the Lord Jesus told him to tell what he saw and heard, and you know, that the blind receive their sight and deaf hear and lame walk again.
That's true. But what opinion, what identification did John the Baptist have concerning the Lord Jesus Christ? Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. So he was pointing to it. He was the one who was just like Elijah, who would have been Elijah if he had accepted him. So John knew a lot of things. He knew about the things of the Lord. He knew about the Savior. And of course, the disciples of John followed the Lord Jesus when he's in prison. What's it about that?
I mentioned it's about Apollos, but somebody else expounded to him the Word of God more perfectly.
Aquila and Priscilla, yes. They're right in verse 26, yes, that's right.
When we're talking about Apollos.
That's right, Apollos. So, regardless, he had to have more knowledge of the things of the Lord, and Aquila and Priscilla, they had known Paul's ministry, and they were, for back, we'll see a little bit later, they had a church in their house, Aquila and Priscilla, a church in their house, so they had believers that gathered. They knew more about the things of the Lord than Apollos did, and so they taught him. Now, was Apollos a good listener?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, he was a good listener. Are all people good listeners?
Mm-hmm.
No. Are people that need to be taught always willing to be taught?
No.
Now, I always see that they're not receptive, but apparently Apollos was willing. Now, did they teach him and embarrass him publicly?
No.
No. It says they took him unto them. What does that mean?
Took him aside.
Aside, unto them, privately. Mm-hmm. That's the way you do it. When somebody's a little different, don't expose them, take them aside and tell them about the things of the Lord more fully, about the Lord Jesus Christ, all that he did and so on, as Paul knew. Yes, fine.
Apollos, is that what we're talking about? Apollos?
Yes, huh?
And he had a very good attitude about it. Some people won't let anyone tell them anything.
I know.
Especially if they're real good speakers and everything.
That's right. Now, some people have doctrines that are not necessarily biblical, but when you try to show them biblical doctrines, what do they? Some of them do.
Get mad.
They get angry. They just go away and they leave, and they won't change. We've got to be open. Not that we're going to be open to error, but we should be open to truth. Always open to truth. And so apparently Apollos had a good attitude, and Aquila and Priscilla apparently taught them well, and they weren't probably knocking them apart, saying, "You ignoramus, you know." Very kind, I'm sure. They had a very good way of telling them and teaching Apollos. Took them, expounded them. What does expounded mean?
Explained.
Yeah, more perfectly. In other words, so he has a little bit more beyond John the Baptist, the Lamb of God to take away the sin of the world. Let's read 27 and 28 together. And when he was disposed to pass unto Achaia, the brethren wrote, exhorting the disciples to receive him, who when he was come, helped them much, but they believed through grace. For he mightily convinced the Jews, and that publicly, showing by the scriptures that Jesus was Christ. So, where did Apollos go after this?
Corinth.
Well, to Achaia, all right, in chapter 27. Achaia, which is right here, this is Achaia, this whole area, see, part of Greece. Well, they were talking to him in the Manum at Phrygia, and he was in Asia Minor over here, in Galatia, in that Asia Minor area. So then he went from there all the way over to here. Yes, it took a long time. He went over there, and What is it?
It's the province, isn't it? Isn't it in the province, I think?
No.
Frigid? Well, Frigid, wouldn't that be over in the Galatians?
Over more to the west.
Southeast.
There. Is that it?
Oh, I guess you're right. That is Frigid. Okay. So I could, thank you. I couldn't find Galatians here. Frigid, right close by. So I went through these regions. That's Frigid. Thank you. I was looking for that. I couldn't find it. But Frigid right there. Thank you. That's Frigid. And so he went all the way after they got soundly instructed by Aquila and Priscilla, went all the way over to Achaia, which is the Greece area, in the Greece area, right in the Achaia, his whole province. So he must have taken a ship and gone over there. And that's, now, what did he do in verse 27 when he went there? It says the brethren wrote. What did they want to do? What did they tell the Christians there at Achaia concerning Apollos?
They exhorted
him. Exhorted him to do what?
To receive.
To receive. In other words, they didn't know he's a stranger. Yeah, Anna.
So this must have been when he went to Corinth.
Yeah, Corinth is 19:1.
Oh, okay, 19:1.
Well, Apollos was at Corinth, but yes, he said that he went to pass into Achaia, so he went there to Corinth. And so then this is where
it's close by,
they were disputing.
Achaia's in Corinth.
I am Apollos, I am Stephen.
That's right. So they're in Corinth, that's right. So he went eventually to Corinth, but not, of course, in this particular verse. But
he went to Achaia.
You went to Achaia, right?
Yes, which Corinth is in Achaia.
Yeah, that's true.
So I'm assuming that when he went to Achaia, he went to Corinth, and in 19:1,
right.
It says
yes, he was at Corinth. That's right. So that'll be the next chapter. Get the next surgery.
No, this was Apollos.
Yes, apparently Apollos. Yes, Apollos passed into Achaia, of that area. And the brethren exhorted the disciple to receive. Why do you think they had to exhort to receive him?
Because they didn't know him.
They didn't know him. He was a stranger, and. What did he do when he got there?
He helped them much.
Now, who is the them referred to?
Are they talking about?
Help them. Who's the them?
The church there.
The church, the disciples, the learners, the believers,
are
the Christians. The apostles in verse 27. And he helped them what?
Much.
Helped them much. What kind of disciples were they according to the last part of verse 27?
Believers.
They had believed through grace. They believed the Lord Jesus Christ, received them by faith and through the grace of God, by God's giving us something you don't deserve. Then in verse 28, what do we see about his teaching?
In scripture, he was mighty.
Again, mightily. Convinced. What does convince mean? What does convince mean?
Persuaded.
Persuaded the Jews. And that publicly, what does that mean? Right in the open, not quietly, but publicly, showing what?
Scriptures of Christ.
By the scriptures that
Jesus
was Christ. No, it's by the scriptures. Was he a good pupil of these two, Aquila and Priscilla? Very good pupil. They straighten him out, and he's ready to go, an evangelist, mighty evangelist, strengthening the people, the Christians, there in Achaia. So that's amazing. He mightily convinced the Jews, publicly. Remember, Paul got into trouble in earlier part of chapter 18, didn't he? In 17, then the Jews tried to say he was a Christ. He said, that's not according to our doctrine, and he threw him out of the synagogue. We're not ready to kill him. All right, any other comments or questions about chapter 18 before we move on, before we dismiss?
That's always the important argument, is that Jesus is the Christ,
yes,
the Son of God.
Amen.
And that's what people don't want to accept. And way back then and way up until now.
That's right. And what does Christ mean again?
The anointed one.
The anointed one. And what is the Old Testament?
Messiah.
Messiah. So he's the Messiah. Are the Jews today still looking for the Messiah? Some of them. Some of them are. Some of them aren't. But the Orthodox ones are. I said the Orthodox. But some of them are. They don't care. But the liberal ones. But the Orthodox ones are still looking. But they one day get Bill.
The liberal ones really don't care much about accuracy in translation either.
Yeah.
The Old Testament scriptures that they read are written by a single author, and they can be very different going from one to another. They don't care too much about the wording.
Yes.
The Orthodox are more particular.
More particular.
But
all right.
I know some liberal ones. And,
they don't care.
No.
All right, any other comments on chapter 18 before we close? Brother David, stand close. A word of prayer, please.
Dear Heavenly Father, We are so grateful that we have the Word of God. We are so grateful that it has been taught to us all our lives, and that we have good teachers to teach us what is the truth, the absolute truth of God. And we pray that you would help us to know it and to be able to talk to people about Jesus, and to convince them that they need Jesus as their Savior. And I pray that you would bless us and help us to be more like Paul and Apollos, to be mighty in the Scriptures, and to be able to use it in our life. And I pray that you would bless us as we go and help us to live for you. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you for coming.